Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fitness Man Report. My name is Stacey Alden, and I'm here with Katie Santos, who is the expert of all things human resources, especially in the fitness industry. So I know from experience and meeting with her, offline and other cohorts and places that we've connected with each other, she's always ahead of the game in paying attention to what changes are being made in the industry or in the HR space. She's also sometimes noticing some of the mistakes that not only owners, but also managers are making and may not recognize are important for them to realize are also on their shoulders when it comes to hiring, making decisions, potentially terminating people. So she's going to go into major detail about that. But if you enjoy the content of today's episode, make sure you like, subscribe, hit yes, hit let's go for the next episode, wherever you're listening to this, because it is broadcasted in many different places. So my first, that's kind of our short introduction of Katie, but do check out her website, fitnesshr.com. She's also posting on Instagram and all the social media accounts about updates and things you need to pay attention to as a manager. But we're going to focus on what managers need to know about HR so that they can stay on top of things as well. So, Katie, my first question for you is, why is it important for fitness managers to get involved with their human resource departments?
The scary human resources department. I mean, I never thought I would find myself here. I was not a rule follower as a child, so it's really odd that I have this as a job. But it's important because managers, when we're on the floor with people and owners for that matter, we're really the first line of defense between the employee and HR. And I don't mean to set that up as an adversarial kind of relationship. But we may be the employee's closest confidant and closest connection in the organization. Generally, hopefully, we're all people that our employees can trust. And it's important that we know what their rights are, what our responsibilities are to them, and if need be a liaison between them and maybe upper management or HR, things like that. So it's important for us, and it's incumbent on us to really learn as much as we can about what rules and rights and all of that kind of stuff are in the pipeline for the people that work for us.
So true. Yeah, I can remember so many times when I had the open door policy, right, as a fitness manager, and they come in with questions or issues, and then or I go to a class and someone has a boot on their foot and I had no idea that they had injured their foot or anything. And they're teaching because they love what they do, but wait a second, you need to protect yourself. And where did you get injured? And how can we help you? And how can we modify or create a safe environment for you? So that is so true. Creating a good relationship with HR and recognizing that you are the first person your team may come to with questions that you might not answer or not be able to answer. So going to HR is important. That's funny that you mentioned that you weren't a rule follower or that HR is this scary, not so fun place, because it makes me think of The Office. Like Toby, it's always like the HR guy everyone hates. I'm
I
sorry.
know.
I'm
We
sorry
could
to go
use a
off
lot of those
topic.
memes. And I got to say, I know there's a big local club here, I won't name. But the HR person that's been in charge has been there 33 years. And I asked, I said, do you go to the conferences or how do you keep in touch with what's going on? She goes, no, not really. I'm like, dude, I am on three webinars a week finding out what's up and new, especially we're in California. So shout out to all y'all that are running businesses in California because, yeah. And
Yes,
what we
tough.
do, generally everybody else is going to do at some point. So you should watch.
Yes, stay up to date. And even if you're watching this or learning about things from Katie, or you follow her, learn from her, potentially ask those questions to your human resources department. How are you continuing your education? How can I continue my education? How can you support me in learning more about HR? Yeah, that's huge. And that is kind of our responsibility. So that actually brings me to our second question, which is, what HR mistakes do you see fitness managers make the most?
I heard this term last week and I kind of like it, nuclear claims. And it refers to employees that make claims against businesses. And, you know, we used to think about product liability claims being in the millions and even billions, like your Ford truck rolls over and you sue Ford and you win for $1 billion. But those kind of big, they call them nuclear claims, are coming around in the HR space, not in the fitness space necessarily, but in the HR space. Although there is one fitness company, again, won't name, it's got a big claim against it right now. So our mistakes, it's our responsibility to know what the laws are, what their rights are, what employees have. And, you know, what at worst, you could be unaware of behaviors that might cause claims against you personally and against the organization. Whether they're situations that might make employees uncomfortable, all the way to something that puts the whole shebang at risk. We've all seen clients and customers and gyms and studios that do things that are a little untoward, and as not to call out a particular group of people, but older men, you know, who maybe grew up in a different era and or losing their filters. It can be pretty sketchy and uncomfortable for a younger female employee to have to deal with that person. And if you as a manager aren't aware of it happening at all and not aware of the fact that it might not be something that's even legal, you're putting yourself and the organization at risk. And we've got things, you know, aside from just comments, I mean, raise your hand if we've all had the harassment comments. If you work in a gym, you have. But it's workplace violence too. We have a new law here in California that's coming about in July, where every employer has to have a workplace violence prevention program. And you have to look at your particular business and go, okay, is this employee at the front desk at risk because they have cash? Are my trainers that are working at night by themselves at risk because anybody could come in, not just a customer, but an unhoused person or the angry landlord that didn't get their rent, something like that. Do you know about what meal break and rest break rules are in your state? And I would guess a lot of managers don't. And our business is so heart-centered that, speaking for myself, I remember wanting to work straight through my whole shift. I didn't care if I needed lunch or I'd grab it on the way. You know, you're putting yourself and the business at risk when you do that, and you're not giving the employee what they're entitled to, which is their uninterrupted meal break. So when you don't know those things as a manager, you know, what's the term when you go to court? You're innocent until proven guilty. But if you don't know the rules, that's not an excuse for getting out of trouble.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ignorance. It's something about like
the ignorance is like, not bliss. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just say, oh, I don't know. I didn't think to know. I didn't think to look at that. That really is absolutely your responsibility as a manager. And you're the one creating schedules and you're the one who's setting those breaks. And if you aren't doing that correctly, you really need to pay attention to that, because you're right, in the fitness industry too, I'm sure there's research and, hopefully some changes that if they haven't already been made, I need to be looking at those myself. But group fitness instructors and personal trainers can be tough to potentially hopefully take those breaks, because they're just going to fill their schedule with as many classes and clients as they possibly can, because that helps them make money. They trade time for money. But I was really impressed recently, a new club I just started teaching at did a great job of setting up their pay system based on the time I was clocking in and out versus the service, right? Yeah. Which I know some facilities have gotten in trouble for, and if they haven't already, something to look into. But it's not that you've clocked in, or it's not that you're just teaching the hour class or the hour service. You should be getting benefits and potentially paid time if you're working on your class plan, if you're responding to email, if you're you're reaching out to your clients who are back and forth on the schedule all the time.
So, yeah, I just was working with a client and she said, well, this person's a newer teacher, so I'm making her do class plans that she has to submit on Saturday night before she teaches on Monday. I'm like, are you a planner? No. Yeah. Do I need to? And that's just, you know, that wasn't malicious on the owner's part. It just didn't dawn on her. You know, we're not born knowing all these regulations and rules and things like that. And it's a ton to keep up with. So, and I have seen, you know, big franchises that I look at their schedule and here's Molly teaching 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 12 a.m. or 12 p.m. and one. Yeah. Is there a break?
Yeah, poor Molly. And it is on Molly too to be like, this
we've
really
all done
hard.
It, but it doesn't work anymore. And the trick is now people that are coming up behind us are smart. They know what the rules are. They know what their rights are. They want a place that embraces culture, takes care of the people that work for them, that recognizes that this is a profession and it should be treated as such. You know, we're not fly-by-night people like we were when I started at Gold's Gym for, hey, you look good. Will you train me for $5? Yeah, sure, whatever. You know?
Yeah, it's become, which is a good thing. It's become more professional, which is, we should be all in support of that. But you're so right. It's it is a good thing, and it's good that people are learning what their rights are and what they how they should be treated. Right. And yeah, I love that your view on that is that way. You know, change is good. Some of these human resource changes are to help support your team stay with you for longer, because that's such a pain is hiring new people, right? You know, you want
100%.
You want to keep people.
Yeah. And, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about getting rid of non-competes and how that's going to happen. And people are all up in arms about it. But I feel if you hire correctly, you put in the work ahead of time to figure out who you want, what do they look like? What can you express to them about who you are as a business? And then be straight with them. Like, we had one of our guiding principles was be upfront. Meaning, if you feel that working in our Pilates studio, you want to go to work at Orange Theory down the street, totally fine. You want something different, as long as it doesn't impede on the schedule that you have here, or even if it does, if you can, you know, move it around to work still for the clients and for the studio, fine. You know, I don't want to impede your ability to explore new things, make more money, just be upfront. And I really think that if you set that tone and you hire toward that, you're not going to be living in fear that someone's going to take all your clients and open up down the street. I just don't think it will happen when you do it right.
I love that. Love that philosophy. Yeah. I think more facilities will have to kind of embrace that in the future, because those non-competes are going to become less and less a thing, but looking at them in that more positive way of, just make it open for discussion. And there's a lot of collaboration that we've hopefully learned since the pandemic that we can have with our teams and with other businesses and all kinds of things. So love all of
our highest goal was we want our clients to move better. And you know what? If a client leaves and goes down to Fitness Together, that's okay. We probably did something wrong. We weren't giving them the right thing, or they weren't the right fit, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and your team can read. Yeah, your team can read through that. If you say that that's your purpose and your core value as a company, but then you set all these crazy rules and, you know, guidelines and get really mean about things, then you're not really acting on what you are saying you believe in. Yeah,
right, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Love that. So last, Katie, is what advice do you have for fitness managers navigating the upper management relationship? So when they have recognized that there's something that maybe needs to change, or how do they, I guess, open the dialogue with upper management?
It's, you know, it's about making a we call it in HR, a business case. And it's really showing upper management the dollar value of being able to make sure that they're complying with these things. You know, one of the things I get pushback on a lot when people are converting from independent contractors to employees, that I can't afford it, it's going to be impossible, I can't do it, yada, yada. But when you structure it right, and you price your services right, you can afford it. And you can even, show your employees what a total reward statement is. So if you can go to upper management and say, tell me exactly what my people are getting, aside from the $30 an hour or whatever it is that you're paying them, are they getting perks like a free membership? That's a perk. There's a dollar value to that. Are they able to get free workshops? Are you bringing in, the Jay Blonicks of the world to come and, I'm sure he doesn't do this anymore, but he did, to come and teach workshops? Are you giving them continuing education credits? So all of those are valuable, and it's kind of a good way to talk to upper management about what they want you to express to employees that employees are getting, right? Then it's an easy way to go back and say, okay, that's awesome. Now I'm really focused on what I need to know to make sure that you as an organization stay safe and I'm doing the right thing by our employees. So I need to learn somehow whether, the organization maybe gets a subscription to Society for Human Resources Management, SHRM we call it, so that you can go in. There's a knowledge base there. You can ask questions about, I have an employee that's doing X, Y, and Z. Is that okay? Can I say something or not? Because in my experience, club HR departments don't necessarily have the bandwidth to do that, right? If you can do it on your own, it's going to add value to you as a manager. So that if you move away or you go to work for someone else, or you need a raise, you can say, hey, I'm the manager here that knows and make sure that people take their breaks. I make sure that there isn't a harassment claim that's going to be hanging around your neck. I make sure that our team is safe and that they're locking the doors when they're down by themselves, or they're, being able to stand up to the client that maybe is taking advantage of them, right? It's eventually a win for the organization because it keeps them out of legal jeopardy. It keeps the team, to your point, there for the long term. That's the bottom line. That employer I said is looking for front desk people, he's cycling through them at a 3-month pace, if that. That's crazy. If you could just show them, I told this guy, show them the career trajectory that they have with you. Show them the value that they provide to the organization and the why of the importance of their role. You're going to be able to hang on to them maybe for 6 months and hopefully for a couple of years, but 3-month turnover, kind of crazy. But it's, and then lastly, you as a manager can be personally liable for some of these things. So there's, California, again, has something called the Private Attorneys General Act. We call it PAGA. And an employee, if they notice that they're not getting paid for their meal breaks or something like that, they can not only go to the entity that oversees that, but they can file a civil claim against the organization and the management. And I just learned this the other day, it can only be discharged 25%. The rest of it, you can't discharge in bankruptcy. You're liable for. Yeah.
Wow.
Yucky. Yeah. I mean, wow, that's California. That's extreme. But it's just indicative of little fines here and there that you don't want to have or even to answer for to management if you're not responsible. Like, it's your deal. As they say in Fargo, it's your deal, Wade.
Yeah. And honestly, sometimes like California or some other state, if they start something or do something, it starts to trickle its way across the country. If they see that it worked or they see that it was effective and helping support employees, and then other states are probably going to take it on. So I'm glad you mentioned that resource. Can you repeat that again? You said
it's Society for Human Resource Management, or SHRM.org. They do have memberships for non-certified HR professionals. And there's tons of resources and templates and things like that. I will say that sometimes they're outdated. I'll pull templates and go, oh, yeah, that's not up to speed yet. So it's a good idea to check in with your HR. If you don't have HR, I'm
Yeah,
here.
call up Katie. I was
But
gonna say, help, she'll help you out.
it helps you with things like, you're responsible too as a manager about record keeping and performance reviews. And it's a good idea to stay on those. Oftentimes I'll go into on Sundays, I go into the question and answer portal, and people will say, hey, the employee did this or continues this sort of behavior. What do I do? And it's the HR professional asking. And almost without exception, an answer comes back and says, it's not really your job to do that, to manage the employee. It's the manager's job to manage the employee. So the manager needs to know these things. All the rules, regulations, templates, all that kind of stuff. Have I scared you enough now? I hope not.
I know, right? I hope we're not being scary. We're being helpful. This is very helpful. I love hearing all of that. I mean, it's very, very informative, very helpful. I'm so glad also you mentioned, the bandwidth of human resources departments can be a bit tight because I'm noticing so much of post-pandemic acquisitions. So lots of, larger facilities are gobbling up these smaller mom-and-pop or even like privately owned facilities, and now they're becoming much more franchise-like. And I've noticed it's been a really interesting learning curve, I think, for the employees of the old facility to learn the ways of the new facility. And then it's a much more broadened human resources department looking over many more people, which, like you said, can
And they're
make you
doing
feel lost.
payroll and they're doing leave administration and all this kind of stuff. And maybe they have a good legal team, not to leave them out too, but they have to be involved in this so they can do investigations if something happens. And but yeah, the more a manager knows and takes the onus off of HR with a lot of this, I think HR is going to appreciate them, right? And you should be able to make a really easy case to your upper management that, hey, we need to be involved in all of this.
Absolutely. And your examples of that were very helpful because I didn't even think about the possibility of making that a part of your negotiation for a raise because that is huge. I mean, saving them money on potential law issues and, malpractice is huge. Like that is millions of dollars you're saving them. They could afford a 5% raise or something to
And
give you for
the
doing
bigger
that.
an outfit is, the more appealing it is for an employee to make a case like that. There's been big cases down here with great big clubs I won't mention that are multi-unit, and there it goes across the whole thing. And it's like I look at them and go, how do you guys not know this? Or how do you let it happen? It shouldn't. And anyway.
Yeah, so that's why you're a number one resource. Everyone, I will put her information in the description of all of the locations this podcast will be either heard from you or visual on YouTube. So thank you so much, Katie, for all of your insight and stories and examples and resources. So again, can't recommend enough to go to fitnesshr.com. Reach out to Katie wherever you may want to reach out to her. That could be via social media, or I can put her that information in the show notes as well. Anything else you want to say, Katie, before I sign us
Well, I
off?
just want to say what a great resource you are to bring in all these different voices to help people. I wish I'd have had it when I was managing a club. You saw the need and you fill it, and it's just amazing what you do. And you're very articulate and very well connected to lots of different people in this field. So, yay for all the managers out there that have you as a resource.
Thank you. That means so much because that really is where I came from as a brand new young fitness manager who had no idea what I was doing. I couldn't find the resources I
Yeah,
needed. So
they
I
weren't
appreciate that.
there.
Things weren't. Yeah, exactly.
And
So
we were teaching
appreciate
with
that.
broken feet and a
Yeah,
boot too. No,
exactly. No, no more. No more teaching in a
no.
boot. Next interview I have for all of you is just to share more information is all about retreats. So I have Erin, who actually owns her own retreat planning company, and she will be coming. I'll be sharing more of that, advertising for that on my channels. But check that out. That'll be happening in June. So you'll see marketing for that very soon. If you enjoyed today's chat with Katie, maybe we'll have to have her possibly on again. Make sure you like, subscribe, to the podcast today. And thank you all.